Radio Prague News.
The Czech Republic could donate over $1 million to the earthquake-stricken countries in Asia. The Czech state debt has reached 662 billion crowns, and two people have been injured in a tram crash in Prague. Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek has said that the Czech Republic could donate 25 million crowns, or over $1 million, to the earthquake-stricken countries in Asia. The amount will be discussed by the government on Wednesday. The Foreign Ministry has earmarked 5 million crowns. Czech rescue workers are ready to leave for the affected regions as soon as the local authorities specify their needs. A number of Czech charities have said they are going to open special accounts for public donations towards the renewal of the damaged areas. There are no reports of casualties among Czech nationals in the earthquake-stricken regions. A group of Czech mountaineers who were believed missing in Pakistan in the Nanga Parbat area have meanwhile contacted their relatives in the Czech Republic. The Finance Ministry has said that the Czech Republic's state debt has increased by 19 billion crowns and reached 662 billion crowns, or $27.6 billion in the third quarter of 2005. Two people were injured in a tram accident in Prague on Monday morning. A 25-year-old woman and a 2-year-old boy sustained light injuries when two trams collided in Prague 3 at 10 a.m. One of the trams derailed as a result of the crash. The causes of the accident are being investigated. A combat Mi-35 helicopter crashed at the Přerov military base in North Moravia on Saturday while the pilots were practicing emergency landing. No one was injured in the accident, but the helicopter was badly damaged. The causes of the crash are being investigated. The Czech military received the new helicopter as part of the repayment of Russia's debt to the Czech Republic, amounting to billions of crowns. And finally, a glance at the weather. The weather should remain sunny to partly cloudy, and daytime temperatures are expected to range from 15 to 19 degrees Celsius. I'm Pavla Horáková, that's the news.
You are tuned to Radio Prague, and I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up, Forum 2000. Politicians, historians and philosophers debate the clash of civilizations here in Prague. And the Prague Bollywood Festival brings India to the Czech Republic. This being Monday, we'll have the sports news for you and take a look at how minorities are represented in Czech public radio. All that coming up, don't go away. Intended as a one-off meeting of intellectuals and activists from around the globe, the Forum 2000 conference has become a veritable Prague institution. Founded in 1996 by the former Czech president Václav Havel, the Japanese philanthropist Yohei Sasakawa, and Nobel Peace Prize laureate Elie Wiesel, the theme of this year's conference is conflict and coexistence. Brian Kennedy attended the opening ceremony on Sunday night and has this report.
Ano, jsem skutečně překvapen, že je to už devátá konference Forum 2000. Když jsme...
With his characteristic sense of irony, former President Václav Havel opens the 9th annual Forum 2000 with a disclaimer. It was never meant to go this far, but institutions have a talent for self-preservation, as does global conflict.
Čem byl smysl té první konference? V tom též...
The goal of every year has been to invite people of various professions, nations and religions to discuss the future of mankind, the current state of the world, the threats to peace and security that we all face, and finally, how to dispel them.
Václav Havel. Keynote speakers at this year's conference include James Woolsey, a former director of the CIA.
The major challenge of the 21st century is going to be exactly the same as the principal challenge of the 20th century. How do we deal with fanaticism armed with power?
Hassan Salameh, a former Minister of Culture of Lebanon, now professor at the Sorbonne.
Religions are like weapons sometimes looked after by the United Nations. They are of dual use. Sometimes they are used to legitimize autocracy. and sometimes they inspire democratic movements.
And Gareth Evans, who served as Australia's foreign minister and is now president of the International Crisis Group.
Well, what is it that we have learned about what works and what doesn't when it comes to war and civil war? What are the things that governments and intergovernmental organisations have been doing right up to a point, but could do a lot more of and do a lot more consistently?
Several dozen other prominent former government ministers, leading academics, political scientists and peace activists are delegates to this year's Forum 2000 conference. The goal has always been to further dialogue rather than chart a definitive course of action or even reach consensus. But among the delegates is the main opposition presidential candidate in Belarus, Alexander Milinkovich, and former Czech President Václav Havel is a vocal critic of the autocratic regime of Alexander Lukashenko, sometimes referred to as the last dictator in Europe. If we may expect any call for definitive action from the Forum 2000 conference, it is likely to come in the form of an appeal to support the democratic movement there.
Brian Kennedy, thank you for that. Now we go from politics to culture. Monday saw the grand opening of the third annual Prague Bollywood Festival, a celebration of Indian film that brings the colourful sights and sounds of the Indian subcontinent to the Czech Republic. This year, the festival begins at the art house Iro Cinema in Žižkov, before spreading out to Kino Svetozor off Wenceslas Square. So is Bollywood slowly winning the hearts and minds of the Czech people? Rob Cameron spoke to organizer Sangeeta Shrestova to find out.
We're kind of hoping not to move Bollywood mainstream. I think that that's really, it's too early to do that, but really to catch a broader audience than people who really seek out unusual films in the Czech Republic. So we're really hoping that this will sort of catch people's attention as they walk through the passage. Yeah, it's going to be bigger and better. Everything's bigger and better this year.
What is it about Bollywood that is so special? Why is it so popular around the world?
I think Bollywood is special because it's a completely different way of storytelling that people aren't used to if they watch Hollywood films and Western cinema. It's not a linear narrative, it's multilinear, so you actually have a lot of digressions, and these digressions include songs, dances, comedy strips, fights. It really touches sort of the melodrama in a very interesting sense. And also I think it really touches on some sort of universal themes in life in a way that is unusual for some people outside of India.
Sometimes described as a rather naive art form.
Yes, but yes, it's described as that. But I think that actually comes from a lack of understanding of the way that Bollywood works. Because I think there are a lot of, well, I know that there are a lot of intertextual references in Bollywood films, and people read through them. And if people don't, audiences are not trained in watching these films, they actually don't see through them and they actually stop at the first level. So there's a reason for the naivete.
You told me last year there was a sort of serious side to the festival as well, or you spoke of the fact that it helped sort of encourage multiculturalism in a very tangible way, I think mm-hmm. Those, those words you used. Do you still see things that way? Do you still think that the festivals such as this can help to change attitudes in a society which is undergoing transition like Czech society?
Well, even more so than last year, actually. I'm completely convinced about this. There's a real, I think, an opportunity to do something different. And I think through entertainment, it's the best way to go if you really can encourage a dialogue. And it happened last year, you know, people met that didn't know each other, from Czechs to Indians to Americans. And they sort of enjoyed something different together. I think that's the best way to go, rather than giving people lectures and educating them.
The organizer of the Prague Bollywood Festival, Sangeeta Shrestova, there, and she was speaking to Radio Prague's Rob Cameron. And now it's over to Ian Willoughby, who'll report on a weekend chock full of sports news.
We begin today with football, and Czech fans' dreams of cheering on their team at next year's World Cup in Germany are now balanced on a knife edge. After losing to the Netherlands on Saturday, the Czech Republic simply have to beat Finland in Helsinki this week to reach the playoffs. The Czechs, with several key players out injured, were clearly feeling the pressure against Holland in Prague and started nervously. But they could have taken the lead after half an hour when they were awarded a penalty. Tomasz Rosicki began his run-up and was evidently flustered when the referee ordered him to take it again. The shot which followed was weak and easily saved by the Dutch keeper. Moments later, Holland were in the lead, and when they scored again on 37 minutes to make it 2-0, it was effectively all over, despite a game performance by the Czechs in the second half. Here's Czech defender Zdeněk Gregora.
Štěstí chybělo, protože jsme nedali vlastně penaltu a dá se říct potom zprotiv.
We were unlucky. First you missed a penalty and then they scored from the counter-attack. Then the second goal followed from a free kick. It's really a pity. Nothing went our way, including the goal we scored to draw 1-1, which the referee said was offside.
Mrzí určitě i ten vyrovnávací gól, který nám neuznali z offside.
Marco van Basten, one of the greatest players of all time, is now manager of Holland. He too felt the Czechs were unlucky and conceded that the absence of important players weakened the home team.
I think they still had a good team, but it's sure that it's not easy to replace Mr. Koller and Jan Kulowski and Lokvens, so that's not easy.
I think we played a pretty good game, although the Czechs had a lot of chances and we were a bit lucky with the penalty that was stopped by the keeper. And also in the second half, they had a lot of chances, and I think they still remain a very strong team in Europe and in the world. And I hope that they will play a good game next Wednesday against Finland.
Let's hope Marco van Basten is right, and the Czech Republic can beat the Finns to reach the World Cup playoffs. We'll be keeping our fingers crossed. One other piece of football news, Stanislav Griga, a Slovak who was once a star player for Sparta Prague, is to be named manager of the club this week, following the recent dismissal of Jaroslav Hřebík. Tennis now, and Czech women's number one Nicole Vajdasheva is enjoying the best spell of her career at the moment. After winning the Korea Open last weekend, Vajdasheva won the Japan Open in Tokyo on Sunday. The 16-year-old was one set up and leading in the second when her opponent, Tatiana Golovin of France, was forced to retire with a foot injury. Vajdasheva says she was sad the match ended as it did.
Two or three balls decided the first set and I played better in the tiebreak. But then, unfortunately, she had to go off. She was running around in the first set and giving it her all, so I was surprised when she called the doctor on the court. I didn't even know she had a problem.
Nicole Vajdasheva, who, after a wonderful fortnight, has now climbed to 18th in the world rankings. Finally today, the biggest event in Czech horse racing, the Velká Pardubická Grand Steeplechase, was won on Sunday by the 11-year-old Maskul, ridden Dirk Furman and trained by František Holčák in South Moravia. The biggest upset of the day was the fall of favourite Registan at just the second jump of the treacherous 7-kilometre course. The race, a kind of Czech equivalent of England's Grand National, took place this year for the 115th time. That's all the sport for today.
Ian Willoughby, thank you for that. A reminder that you are tuned to Radio Prague, coming your way from the Czech capital here in Central Europe. Now, under Czech law, public service broadcasters are obliged to devote programming time to minorities living in this country, such as Slovaks or the Roma, for instance. In this week's Talking Point, Radio Prague's Colleen O'Connor looks at the impact these broadcasts have on the image of minorities in Czech society and the challenges facing public broadcasters as they grapple with an ever-changing population.
Vedecká družica Kryosat po štarte ruskej nosnej rakety spadla do severného ľadového oceánu. Európska vesmírna agentúra chcela...
The sound of Slovak news being broadcast on Czech TV. Although it is over 12 years since Slovakia split from the Czech Republic, Slovaks are still a very prominent minority in Czech society. They get to hear Slovak news on Czech television because there are provisions in the country's broadcasting legislation which allows for special minority programmes to be aired on Czech public TV and radio. The legislation is designed to support minority cultures living in Czech society. At the moment, the main Czech public radio station, Radio Journal, broadcasts programmes for the country's sizeable Slovak, Polish, Vietnamese, German and Roma minorities. Alexander Picha, who runs Radio Journal, has the delicate task of ensuring that relevant content is provided on the national airwaves for minorities without overemphasizing their difference from the general population at large, as he says this could prove socially divisive.
We have two policies. One policy is to broadcast special programs dedicated for minority, because minority groups ask us to have their own programs. But on the other hand, I think that it is more important to make collaboration. So I prefer to broadcast, for instance, contributions about problems with gypsies or contributions about problems with immigration and so on in ordinary program and not in ghetto of program which is dedicated for Slovaks or for Germans and so on.
Despite making every effort not to ghettoize minorities on the radio, Alexander Picha says certain allowances have to be made for different minorities, some of whom are not as well integrated into Czech society as others.
Slovak minority is not considered as minority here because Slovak people have same habits. They have very understandable language. On the other hand, for instance, we have a lot of problems with Roms. And Roms are living here in ghettos and they like to speak about their problems in their programs and they ask to have programs dedicated for Roms, and it is absolutely a different story.
A Roma-related news broadcast on Radio Journal's weekly primetime show dedicated to Roma issues and cultural life. It is broadcast in Czech and has raised awareness of Roma affairs in Czech society. Roma activist Ivan Veseli says the show has helped change attitudes towards Roma people, who are frequently a much maligned minority in many countries.
We are very satisfied with collaboration with Czech radio, because if you're looking in Europe, only the Czech radio have the Roma program, have the Roma journalist and website about Roma. I know that the Czech radio, Czech broadcasting, public broadcasting is the best broadcasting in the minorities issue in the Europe. If you're looking in Slovakia, Hungary, I don't know where, or in the Western Europe, you doesn't find same public broadcasting.
Despite being happy with Czech radio's coverage of Roma issues, Ivan Veseli doesn't think enough is being done on the airwaves to promote Roma culture. In response to this perceived deficit, he has set up Radio Rota. This radio station, which is sponsored by the Czech Ministry of Culture, is exclusively geared towards championing Roma culture. Ivan Veseli says this is necessary to redress the damage done in a society where Roma have been marginalized for decades.
The people doesn't know that the Roma is European people, doesn't know about the culture, doesn't know about Roma spirituality, Roma thinking. And this instrument, Radio Rota, we use it for this information. We're slowly working for improvement, how to deeply explain the Roma traditional value of the Roma culture, Roma policy, etc., etc.
Ivan Gabal, a Czech sociologist specializing in minority issues, says that although there is nothing wrong with initiatives like Radio Rota, they have to be carefully employed to avoid being counterproductive. He warns that if minority groups immerse themselves too much in their own culture, they run the risk of limiting their social and economic opportunities in society at large.
I would not object to see any Roma language broadcaster or anything like this. But we have to understand that one of the important preconditions for Roma children is their command of Czech language. If they are educated or if they grew up in Roma language environment, they have less chances to get their opportunity for jobs and labor market applications.
In addition to catering for so-called traditional minorities, who have been here since before the Velvet Revolution in 1989, Ivan Gabal also believes that state broadcasters must now address the fact that new minorities are arriving on the scene, as post-communist Czech society opens up. These include religious groups such as Muslims, who have come here for economic reasons, and increasingly visible social groups such as gays and lesbians. According to Mr. Gabal, public broadcasters could make more programmes analysing these changes in Czech society, and that a lot could be gained from looking at the experiences of other countries.
On one side, media and mainly public radio and public TV are reflecting new realities and situation of foreigners and minorities in this country, but on the other side, I think they are not sufficiently proposing solution. They are not sufficiently highlighting the situation in European Union countries and skills or experiences with integration or inclusive policies.
Alexander Picha admits that the emergence of new minorities in what is still a transitional society is something state broadcasters will have to address in the near future.
Of course, there are a lot of social level minorities and also minorities according to their religion. These are new things we have to think about, and I have to confess that we don't have clear opinion and clear policy in broadcasting for them. We have to collaborate with experts and so on. And we have to have some platform for that debate. I have to confess that we are only on the start of that process.
In Ivan Gabal's opinion, all programming by public broadcasters for minorities in Czech society should be geared towards encouraging integration with the majority Czech population and should not overemphasize and rigidly promote the values and customs of other cultures. He thinks the historical experience of the Czech Republic means Czechs are unlikely to adapt to the multicultural social model that has been cultivated in some Western European countries.
Comparing to multicultural systems in Germany or Netherlands or Belgium, where these societies were more open toward protection of original cultures and social environment of these communities, Czechs are much more looking for those foreigners who are eager to enjoy Czech beer and Czech culture and language, rather than for those who are separating themselves and keeping their own original language and culture. I know it might be a problem, and it's pretty selective or restrictive cultural approach, but on the other side, this is the situation in which we are, and this is certainly conditions for a society which is still halfway closed and a bit more xenophobic than, for example, German or Dutch or any other.
Minorities in public radio broadcasting, and that edition of Talking Point brings us to the end of today's programme from Prague. I'd just like to remind listeners that all of Radio Prague's programmes are available in text and sound on our webpage. That's at www.radio.cz. Should you like to contact us about anything, then the address is, very simple to remember, english@radio.cz. We'll be happy to hear from you, as always. This is Danielle Lazarová saying thanks for joining us and goodbye.